Karen used to do a good job of booking everything and making sure we were all whipped into shape and we had itineraries. It was wonderful. But one of the most wonderful things about Wales was that we used to go to church. I think it was, my memory's going, but I think it was St. John's on in London. No, she's nodding, yeah. And they used to have choirs, men's choirs there. And there's nothing like a Welsh male voice choir for singing that. So that's why I chose it. Now, what about this morning? Four Marys in Scripture. Bit confusing, isn't it? It's confusing when we say there's two Lillians that come to church. And we always say, which Lillian? You see, we know Mary, the mother of Jesus. That's quite easy to remember. And we know about the Mary that was the sister of Lazarus from Bethany with, you know, with her sister Martha. So that's another one crossed off. And then we think of Mary Magdalene. And it says, and the other Mary. And the other Mary was the mother of James and Joseph. She was someone that I came across and I thought, well, where do you come into everything? But I was intrigued with Mary Magdalene. Matthew writes in chapter 27 that Mary Magdalene and Mary, the wife of Cleopas, they were sat waiting. Waiting. I find, I've said before, that's the hardest thing I find to do, is to wait. When somebody says to me, just go over there and sit down, Jean, and wait. You'll be all right, you were seen in a minute, and you know jolly well it's going to be an hour and a half. And then you sit there, don't you, and you think, I wish I'd have brought my book. I wish I'd have bought enough money to go and get a coffee or something or other. And you sit and you wait. Sorry, Georgina's not well this morning. Oh. So the hardest thing for me is to wait. But these ladies waited. We don't know where they sat. We don't know where they were. But they sat and waited. There's another lady mentioned. Now, this is another one that I came across. And I don't know whether we should pronounce her as Salome or Salome. But this lady, she was the mother of James and John, the two sons of thunder. Her husband was Zebedee. Sounds like something from the Magic Roundabout, doesn't it? The Sons of Thunder. Joseph of Arimathea took his life in his hands that night. This was the night of preparation. They'd had the Passover. Jesus had been arrested. Jesus had died. What were they to do with the crucified Jesus? He would go to Pilate, and I love this bit as well, to ask for Christ's body. And in Mark's Gospel, chapter 15 and verse 44, Mark has written these words. Pilate was surprised to hear that Jesus had already died. And he doesn't leave it at that. It says he summons the centurion who'd been in charge of the crucifixion and you sent for him. And he said, is it right about this man who said, you know, this king of the Jews, has he died? He said, yes. All right, that's all right then. Well, you can take his body if you want. But as far as these two ladies here, in their waiting, it wasn't in vain. There'd no chance. The only thing that worried them, there was no chance to prepare Christ for his burial. And that would be, you see, the day after, while they're sitting there waiting, was their holy day, Saturday. So they couldn't do anything then. No way. The Bible states they just saw where he had been laid. And then they went home to prepare perfumes and spices. I was thinking about the Lord's 3-year ministry and the impact it had through the whole of Israel. He touched hearts. Women couldn't believe it. He tenderly spoke to them. He loved little children and said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Forbid them not. That was a new one. Who is this man? He went and he did all that he needed to be done in love. Even the disciples a few times were very upset with how he handled things. Do you remember at the well? And they said, what are we doing here? And what do you mean you've been talking to a woman? You shouldn't do that. This is Samaria. You don't do that. And at one time, two of them, the sons of thunder, said, can't we? Because they wouldn't give them anything to eat. He said, do you think it's... Let's call down fire and brimstone and just obliterate the village. I wonder if Jesus ever had moments of being fed up with them. Well, I know I would. Even those in the highest places in Israel were touched by Christ, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. We know that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus were people of high standing, but they loved the Lord. And even the governing body of Rome, they wanted to know about this man. And even in that moment of his death on the cross, the centurion, it says in Scripture, this centurion said in Luke's Gospel, surely this was a righteous man. Matthew wrote, surely he was the Son of God. And Mark wrote the same words, surely this man was the Son of God. There was an impact throughout the whole of Israel. What these women who were still sitting there wouldn't know was that the chief priests had had a bit of a confab together. And they said, I'm going to have to do something because I know what's going to happen. The disciples are going to come, they're going to pinch the body and say he's risen. So we're going to want a guard on there. Now they couldn't do anything without Pilate's permission. So they went and mithered Pilate. We'd like a guard, please, if you don't mind. And I can imagine Pilate at that moment being absolutely fed up with all this performance about this man called Jesus. He said, "Look, my centurion reported to me he's dead." And then he remembered about his wife, perhaps. Hadn't his wife had a dream? And hadn't she said, "I won't bother with this if you don't mind. Forget it, let them deal with it." And because of that, hadn't he washed his hands on the whole performance? There must have been many secret to-ings and fro-ings that night. The disciples in fear, well, we don't know where they were. They were hiding. And I think I'd have been in the middle of them. I would have been hiding as well. Because would they be next? You know, we've a lot to be thankful for, haven't we? About this man named Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, these secret disciples. They asked Pilate, another one that came, "Will it be all right if?" No wonder he's fed up, Pilate. They placed him reverently in a hewn tomb that had been cut for Joseph of Arimathea himself. What would have happened? This is me thinking. What would have happened if these two very brave men hadn't have come forward to seek, to take, and with love look after the Lord's mortal remains? Right in the northwest corner of Jerusalem, outside the city walls, is a place called Gehenna. And Gehenna means hell. Why is it called hell? Well, first of all, it's the city rubbish dump. Everything gets tipped over the wall. And outside these walls, nobody went near unless they got rid of their rubbish. And of course, you can imagine that if people hadn't have claimed the Lord, and God wasn't going to have that for his son, he wasn't going to the Gehenna. It was so wonderful, wasn't it, that the Lord had friends, rich friends, to look after him, when seemingly his other best friends, we didn't know where they were. And as for Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, who had sat patiently to see what had happened to their beloved friend, they sat and they waited. And they sat and they wondered. And the word says, they sat and they wept. Who's got pets here? Come on. Who's got pets? Right. We've all got pets. I should think it's like dogs and cats. Anything different? Yeah, you've got a pussy cat. I know Derek and Elizabeth have cats. Well, I love the natural world. I don't like it when they're chasing down anything for the tea. I can't watch that. We're all the same there, aren't we? We kind of go and put the kettle on while that's on. Because I don't like that bit. But it's nature. But one of the things I do like about the natural world is that its members mourn for each other. Two people, Jim and Jamie Dutcher, apparently the filmmakers, and I was reading an article of theirs the other day. They're very knowledgeable about wolves. Well, I've not been near a wolf, so I don't know, but I know that they can be nasty. But in this article it said, when they're very happy, like our pets at home, what do they do? I know what my little dog does. She wags her tail like mad when she's happy. And especially when you put her dinner down. Ooh, yes. And they romp about, if they've got siblings, they romp about with their little brothers and sisters. But after a member of the pack of wolves died, it's interesting, they keep going back to the place where the wolf has died. And they have droopy tails, and they howl. So next time we hear a wolf, because he keeps saying they're going to introduce them back into England, if you hear a wolf, then you'll know where it is to keep away, but it might be mourning one of its pack. Grief is a powerful emotion, and Mary Magdalene was going through that emotion right now. She'd gone home to prepare all these spices and these perfumes. And it got me thinking, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary must have stayed up quite late preparing these things. And then I thought about Mary Magdalene. She seems to be the only one with a surname. Nobody else has a surname. So I looked into that. It's not a surname. It's where she comes from. She's Mary of Magdala from Galilee. So she'd been with Christ from right from the beginning. Not wonderful to know. Never left him. Mary of Magdala. So then when we think about it, this lady who Christ had cured from what the Bible says, 7 demons, I don't know about that. But yes, she'd been cured from it. Make no mistake, whatever they call things then, she was all right. As you know, in Christ's culture, women were not treated very well. But Jesus treated women with dignity and with love. In return, Mary would follow the Lord wherever he went. She was energetic, she was impulsive, and she was very caring. And she would contribute to the needs not only of Jesus, but the disciples as well. Very faithful woman, very caring. And when you think about it, her love for Jesus wasn't complicated. I'm glad about that. Because mine's not complicated. You either love Jesus or you don't. That's just me. She may not have understood everything while they sat and they waited and they went back home. She didn't know anything. But at that Sunday morning, Christ entrusted her with the greatest message that's in Scripture for you and me. And we can remember it. His frightened disciples weren't there, so they hadn't got the message. And they wouldn't believe it when she told them. But for all who love the Lord and want to work for him, we can't forget these three words. What was the commission to this woman? What did Jesus say? Go and tell. That's all. Go and tell. Don't have to stand on a soapbox. Go to that friend that needs a helping hand. Because somewhere along the line, they'll say, why are you doing this for me? What an opening. Because I belong to Jesus. And you only have to know them saying, home and we're in. Jesus knows, even if his culture didn't at that time, that women would be vital in spreading the gospel and spreading the good news of the risen Lord. Very little is known about Mary from Magdala. But she must have had wealth, or else she couldn't have, you know, keep feeding the disciples and Jesus and the upkeep of Christ. She's just very faithful and very generous. But we cannot put this wonderful message of Easter and wrap it up and put it in a box like we do at Christmas and like we've perhaps already done. Those moments, we think of the Passover, the Last Supper, the arrest of Christ after a friend's betrayal. How did the guard in that garden know who to go and arrest? And the sad thing was, with a kiss. It's the one that I will kiss. Christ had a trial that was, to me anyway, and to everybody else, a total mockery of the Jewish legal history. Jesus was looked after in death by two amazing unknown disciples. And we can look for the amazing things, even this morning. As the women went to embalm the body of Christ, there was a question, and I'll finish with this. Who will roll away the stone? Well, you don't need to worry, girls. It's already been done. And what in one of the gospel writers, it says, the stone had rolled back, and there was an angel perched on the top, as if to say, don't bother. And these angels were so frighteningly white. It said they looked like they were dressed in lightning. And that lovely moment when they say, he's risen. He's risen. He's risen indeed. And when told he was risen, the disciples still didn't believe until they saw for themselves. Amen. To bring us into communion, that moment when